I would invite you now to hear these words that come to us from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Paul writes these words, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Is not God made foolish? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching, their claim upon our daily lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. You are in luck today. Yesterday, I left the house about 7:30 in the morning, and I was here for a meeting. That meeting finished about 3:30. Worked on confirmation. I was looking at my sermon, and 6 o'clock was coming around, and I had 3 full pages for my sermon. I see a head going. I condensed it to this. The joke is that some clergy can say something in 5 words and they say it in 20. Don't want one of those today. Sometimes, you know, the worst part of the 20-minute sermon is the last 10 minutes. Or the worst part of a 10-minute sermon is the last 20 minutes. My mom and dad's advice, someone asked me again earlier, I think was the best preaching advice I ever got. My mom said, take a passage of Scripture, tell me what it meant when it was written, tell me what it means today, how you apply it to your life. And my dad said, and when you're done, sit down. We all know that time, familiarity, sometimes just covers up things. I've been intrigued in the house we live in that you own and provide for us. There are I'll bet to say every room, there are spots on the wall where it seems the paint didn't adhere. It's just the goofiest thing. I've repaired some of them. And a while ago in the bathroom, I thought, that one is driving me up a wall. So I went down into the basement and I got paint. We have the ceilings are dark purple and the walls in our bathroom are light purple. So I got the paint, shook the living daylights out of it, painted that spot, and I thought, oh, I hope that gets lighter as it dries. It's not the ceiling paint, and I've now realized it's not the wall paint. I'm not sure what room that purple goes in, but I'm waiting for the paint to dry so I can redo it the right color. I've waited about a year and a half. It's this spot about the size of a half dollar. Now, I promised Leanna that, Andrew, help me, because we're both home tomorrow, that spot's going to get fixed. Repaint that. And I was looking at some other ones, and I'm just intrigued how they got there. But, you know, you just don't see them anymore. You drive through a parking lot. And we all know they're there, but those spaces with that blue sign. Handicap spots. Oh, I'm glad there was one here. And you better not park in those unless you have that placard that goes over your rearview mirror. Or do they still have the license plates? So you can do either or. Okay. You have one. Yes. Yes. You better not park there. And on that blue sign, there's a wheelchair. And in the wheelchair is a person, a stick figure, handicapped stick figure. Do you ever pay attention to what they look like? They look like they have a rod in their back. They're about as straight up as you can be. Their feet, legs come out. Bend at a 90-degree angle, their knees at a 90-degree angle, and their hands are right here. When was the last time you saw somebody that rigid sitting in a chair? You know? And so there's movement in some states around the country to change that image, where the person's bent over a little bit and their arms are on the wheel and there's movement. Because that handicapped person is active. When Leanne and I were dating, she was working at that time at the Harmerville Rehab Center. That was the main place in the country to go. And she would talk about the paraplegics being on basketball teams. I said, what? Those folks could play basketball. I can't even do that with two good feet, two good arms, and as hopefully coordinated as I think I am. So there's kind of a movement to change that sign. So most states, it seems, are not going to just, boom, do them all, but they're going to replace them gradually as signs get bad or torn down or worn out or, you know, somebody slides into them because they misjudge the ice and the snow, whatever. So start paying attention and see when you see, if you even see, in Pennsylvania, one of those new handicapped signs that shows a little bit of mobility in the person. So what other signs are we accustomed to? What other things in life are we accustomed to? I can't dig it out. I did last night because it was easier. But how many wear a cross? I have one on. I've worn a silver cross probably since high school, early college. Same one. I haven't lost it yet. And, you know, yesterday, the meeting I had, we were interviewing potential new clergy and some other clergy. And, you know, I guess I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous when, you know, this didn't happen yesterday. But maybe the person comes in and they've scoured their home and brought the family Bible. And they've got a cross about this big that they're wearing. And I'm thinking, really? Well, that's not what I would call a magnet to them. That's more of something that is repulsing me to go away. And it seems that crosses have just become jewelry. How many of you remember Madonna? She's still around, still singing. You know, did you ever wonder, is there no contradiction there for her to be wearing a cross and maybe some of those songs and outfits? And you go, what are they thinking? Somebody came up to me last night and said that there was a woman that walked in and said, well, I'd like to buy a cross. And so the jeweler was helping her out. She says, no. And he said, well, she says, I want one of those ones with that little man on it. Had no idea what that was, but it sells. So what does the cross mean to you? Is it just a sign? Just a symbol? Or does it really have an impact? The season of Lent, do we really remember that cross, well, it really, for us to wear a cross around our necks for the first century Jews, it would have been like us wearing an electric chair. Because the cross was reserved for terrorists, for insurrectionists, for those that were challenging the Roman government, and they just needed to get rid of that person because they didn't want those challenges going on in society. So what's that cross mean? It's that place where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offered that final, complete, that perfect sacrifice. It should mean something, and when it impacts our lives, as we were talking in confirmation, it should cause a new creation. Now, a few years ago, after church, I stopped by at Giant Eagle. And I had my items, and I only had a handful, so I went through the quick checkout, you know, the 12 and under line, and it wasn't a self-checkout then. There was a gentleman that was ringing me out and doing things, and somehow we started this conversation, and he said, he could tell I had gone to church, I had a tie on. He said, I don't know what these preachers and priests are saying to their people on Sunday morning. He said, but I'm telling you, these people that come in here on Sunday morning are the angriest people we've ever seen. I kept quiet who I was. Now, one of the ladies here last night and here again this morning works at Giant Eagle. And she said to me, oh, David, we have conversations. It's between 10 and 2 on Sundays that the angriest people come into Giant Eagle that have been to church. Folks, that's a little funny, but that's sad. That is sad. If that is our perception in the world, that somehow these Christians are getting all fussed up on Sunday morning and we're treating people in a nasty, negative way, shame on us. Where is that new creation? Does the cross of Jesus Christ change and transform us and make us something new? Does the cross of Jesus Christ have an impact on us? Now, there's a couple lines here I didn't want to forget. We should be recognized by the world for the work of Christ within us. And that, my friend, should be good news, not bad news. We demonstrate Christ best. We demonstrate Christ best by living lives that are humble, generous, and filled with ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the whole reason for the cross of Jesus Christ, so that we might experience the good news of Jesus Christ and live that and share that good news with the world. If you go to Giant Eagle, when you leave church, you better have a smile on your face. But I even one time, this is way, way before, you know, 20 years ago, went to, I think it was Eaton Park after church. And I don't know how the conversation to the waitress, and she said, no, I couldn't go to church this morning. If you church people didn't come to eat on Sunday afternoon, I'd go to church. If I were a young kid today, I'd go to Chick-fil-A and get a job because I'd always have Sundays off. Always have Sundays off. And I think they have wonderful sandwiches. But that's beside the point. We need to radiate the love of Jesus Christ. It needs to ooze out of every pore in our body that others might experience the loving power and presence of Christ in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits every single day. That's what the cross means. That's the good news. May we wear it, may we remember, and may we live it. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news. The good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he seeks to change, to transform us, and to make us new, that we might be gifted with his presence. That we might live and share it in the world, O God, is our hope and our prayer. Send us in with joy and a smile upon our faces that others might experience his power, his presence, his grace, his forgiveness through us today and every day. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.